Let's turn now to the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren, you as a thief, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The sermon text tonight is found in verses 12 through 15. In verses 12 through 13, the Word of God is speaking to all of us. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And then in verses 14 and 15, the Word of God is addressing the elders in the church. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. We're going to be focusing especially on those words in verse 13 that speak of esteeming the elders very highly in love for their work's sake. In fact, that's the theme of this evening's sermon. I want to begin by thanking you, Dave, and you, Ryan, and you also, Fred, for the work that you do as our office bearers. And I'm thankful, too, for the work of others who have served in those offices in the years past. Thankful for your faithfulness, for your devotion to the church and to Christ, for the good example you are to all of us, and thankful, too, that Christ uses you in your offices to bless us as a congregation. I certainly believe that I'm speaking for the whole congregation when I say that in your work you are worthy of the esteem of which the Word of God speaks here. And you certainly have my esteem. I trust also the esteem of the other members of the church in the work that you do in your different offices. Thank you very much for your many labors on our behalf. The calling, though, to esteem the elders, and the emphasis is on the elders this evening because we've just installed Brother Vermeer in the office of elder once again. The calling of the text to esteem the elders very highly in love for their work's sake is something we all need to be reminded of. And especially we need to be reminded of why we must do that. And that's what I want to emphasize more than anything else this evening. But I'm going to begin by talking about the fact that the Word of God here tells us to esteem our elders for their work's sake. And it's at least implied in that offices and the work they do as elders and deacons, here elders especially, they are just ordinary members of the church like the rest of us. It's only their work that sets them apart. They're not less sinful than the rest of us. They're not better Christians than the rest of us, and I think they'd be the first to agree with that. Their piety and godliness doesn't set them apart in the congregation, although elders and deacons too ought to be pious and godly. It's their work that sets them apart. But I want to emphasize right at the beginning the fact that Christ is pleased to use men of that sort to serve in the offices of his church. When I was on my examinations after graduating from seminary, then I was asked the question by one of the older ministers, why do you think that you're called to the ministry? Wouldn't it be better if an angel brought the gospel to God's? Wouldn't an angel do that much better than you could ever do? And my answer to that was yes. But God is pleased, nevertheless, to use weak, sinful men to do the work of his church. And that's implied here in the fact that we are called to love them and to esteem them for their work's sake. Their work is what sets them apart, and I'll tell you in just a moment why that's the case. But first of all, I want you to look with me at the description of their work in verses 14 and 15. A lot of time to spend on that this evening, but that's a rather remarkable description of the work, especially some of the things that are said there about an elder's work. The first thing is warn them that are unruly. And those who are unruly are those who don't listen, who always want to do one thing in the church. By anyone. The elders are told to warn them. That is not good for the church. It's not God-glorifying. It's not Christ's way in the church. And the elders must warn them. And we expect that to be part of the description of the elders' work here. But some of the other things we don't always think about when we think of an elder and his work. The Word of God goes on to speak of the fact that it's the calling of the elders to comfort the feeble-minded. Now, the feeble-minded there are not those who are mentally deficient in some way, but those who, under the burden of life's cares and in the face of life's trials, are ready to faint. That's the word, really, that's used here. Ready to faint spiritually. And it's the calling of the elders to comfort them. And I would emphasize the fact that that's the elders' calling, not just the pastors. But then you have that reference to supporting the weak. And that's even more remarkable because that word support really has the idea of holding on to these people. Weak in faith, perhaps. Weak in the whole area of Christian living. Weak in their relationship to the other members of the church. There are all different ways in which any of us can be weak and need to be supported, literally held on to by the elders. Because when we're weak like that, then the tendency in the church is for the members to turn their back on someone like that. The tendency is to forget someone like that. And because the work of the elders in holding on to such persons consumes so much time and energy, the elders themselves sometimes are ready to just give up on a person like that who seems to need constant care and constant attention and constant visits from the elders. And it's of them that the Word of God is speaking when it says to the elders, hold on to them. Sometimes they go their way in any case, but the elders are to do their best to hold on to them. By visiting, by praying for them, by encouraging them, by doing all that's necessary to support them. Last thing in verse 14, the most remarkable of all, be patient toward all men. That seems to be here in 1 Thessalonians 5, the characteristic of an elder. Patience towards all. And the idea is not everyone without exception, but all the members of the church. Patient to each of us in our weaknesses, our sins, our shortcomings, our failures in the church. Patient. And of course, the great example of patience is our Lord Jesus Christ himself, in exhorting the elders to be patient toward all. The Word of God is exhorting them to be like Christ. In one of his most attractive attributes, his patience with us sinners. And then the Word of God goes, and again, I find that a very remarkable description of the work of the elders. See that none render evil for evil. That every sinful by nature is inclined to do exactly that. The same evil actions with anger and to render for evil instead of good for evil. And so the Word of God concludes its rather extensive description of the work of the elders with that exhortation to follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men, emphasizing with that word good what profits the church, what's good for the salvation of God's people. That's your calling, calling Brian. In a nutshell. But the thing that I want to emphasize, especially this evening, I hinted at that a moment ago, is the fact that the work you do is the work of Christ. When you are warning them that are unruly, comforting the feeble-minded, supporting the weak, being patient toward all, seeing as much as you possibly can that none render evil for evil and follow, and that they follow that which is good, you are doing Christ's work in the church. I'm not going to take the time to prove that to you this evening, but it is my conviction that the office of elder is a reflection of Christ's office as King and Lord of the church. And it's especially in that respect that you are doing the work of Christ. You are serving him. And it's there that it needs to be emphasized that Christ is pleased to use weak and sinful men to rule us, to, what was the word in the form, to take the oversight of the church. He doesn't send angels to do that. He's gone away himself. He uses weak, different in themselves from any of us, to do his work of governing, ruling, having oversight of his church. And we are to esteem them then because their work is Christ's work. Now, the word that the Bible uses when it speaks of their work, verse 12, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. The word that's used there is a word that refers to the fact, and that's true of our office bearers, that they work very, very hard in their offices. I don't know if you appreciate the fact that in the months since Reverend Klein left us, that their work has been much heavier and much more difficult, but it's that kind of thing that the Word of God is talking about when it describes their work in verse 12 as labor. Families are concerned, sacrifices of their time on for that, but to esteem them, especially because the work that they're doing is Christ's work in the church. Now, there are other ways, all different ways in which we esteem them. Verse 12 talks about knowing them. And the idea is that we talk to them, that we find out and learn their needs as elders, that we appreciate the sacrifices they make, that we notice the work that they do on our behalf. Know them which labor among you. That's part of esteeming them. And we do that too, of course, when they admonish us. We don't get angry with them. We don't shun them as a result of their admonitions. But we continue, as the Word of God requires, to esteem them for the work that they do, which is Christ's work, and love them. We have in the King James esteemed them very highly in love for their work's sake. But it's likely that those words very highly go not with esteem, but with love. Esteem them with the highest love for their work's sake. And that especially points us to the fact that the work they do is Christ's work in the congregation. That's worthy of our esteem and worthy, too, of our love. If we love Christ, then we love those who represent Christ in the church and show them the love of Christ in our speech, our attitudes toward them, in receiving them and receiving their admonitions as well as their encouragement and comfort, in praying for them often, in listening to them when they come to us. That's all part of showing not only esteem, but the love of Christ to them as those who serve our Lord and Savior in His church. And I think that that needs a great deal of emphasis, perhaps elsewhere, but certainly in our own denomination. There's been a tendency recently, as you know, to focus on the fact that those who serve in the office of elder in the church are men who make mistakes, men who don't always make the right decisions, men who sometimes fumble things. And it needs to be emphasized in that connection that Christ uses such men to rule his church, and that to esteem them is to esteem Christ. To love them is to love Christ. But to do what so many are doing and despise them for the mistakes they make, for wrong decisions, for the fact that it sometimes takes them a long time to get things right, to despise them for that, and even to reject their work for that reason, is to reject and despise the rule of Christ in his church. I've never been able to answer the question that was asked of me at my examinations. Why a weak and sinful man instead of an angel? But there is no doubt about it that it is weak and sinful men whom Christ calls to the offices of his church and whom he is pleased to use, as far as the office of elder is concerned, to rule his church. And submitting to them is submitting to Christ. Honoring them is honoring Christ. Listening to them, that doesn't mean we don't point out their faults when necessary, but listening to them is listening to Christ. And we must all understand that and not go the way of some who have not understood that fundamental principle of church government and thrown off the rule of elders in the Church of Jesus Christ because those men are and have proved themselves to be weak and sinful men. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And while that's not specifically stated in the passage, it's certainly implied that their work is Christ's work. If you think about it, you'll see that, because there is no work in all the world worthy of esteem, worthy of love, except Christ's work. And in the church, he does his work, is present for the salvation of his people through men like Dave, and Ryan, and Fred, and others who have served in the offices. That esteeming them for their work's sake, as it's described here in Scripture and as we know it from other passages of God's Word, esteeming them very highly in love for their work's sake, is that. And I want to leave you with that thought this evening. That's one of the things I want to leave you with. Esteeming them very highly in love for their work's sake is the way in which, here in this congregation, we are ruled by Christ. Christ's rule then prevails in the congregation. We're going to sing in a few minutes, not the Psalter number that's on the board there, but Psalter number 194, Psalm 72. And that describes the blessedness of Christ's rule. All the kings shall bow to him, his rule, all nations hail, but this especially, he will regard the poor man's cry when other helpers fail. The poor and needy he shall spare and save their souls from fear. He shall redeem them from all wrong. Their life to him is dear. That's Christ's rule, his blessed rule in the church, and the rule that he exercises through the office of elder. That's at the root of everything the passage says. And if that's not enough, then the Word of God here in 1 Thessalonians 5, that's the other thing I'll leave with you this evening, promises peace in the church. It's not calling us as members of the church to have regard for our office bearers, our elders, by knowing them, by esteeming them, by loving them. But that last part of verse 13 is really a promise. In the way of esteeming them very highly in love for their work's sake, the promise is that the members of the church will be at peace, not only with their office bearers, but with one another. And if you've ever experienced strife and division and schism in the church of Christ, then you know what a wonderful promise that is. So, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and so be at peace among yourselves under the rule of Christ, the only King and Head of the Church. I trust that you will. For Christ's sake, amen.